Alex Sider that.
Flame bench, there's all kinds of excitement going on there.
Scores! Roll the highlight reel. 6-0 Flames.
You can't put it in the wind column.
Yeah, baby, yeah, baby, yeah, baby.
This is Flames Talk with Pat Steinberg and Wes Gilbertson on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Yeah, we are underway this hour on the program. It is Wednesday, May 7th. With Wes of Post Media. My name is Pat Steinberg. Welcome to the Sports Drive, brought to you by Calgary Lock and Safe. The moving sale's on now. Save big on safes, smart locks, keypads, and more. Visit CalgaryLockAndSafe.com. Apple, Spotify, Amazon Seeker, or wherever you get your podcasts. Coming at you from our Groundworks downtown studio. Hello, Wes.
Hello, Pat.
If you're listening live, you knew that the first hour of the program went very long.
Yes.
So the second hour of the program is going to be shorter. If you're listening on the podcast, that doesn't matter as much to you. Nonetheless, thanks for being with us. World Championship starts this week, and spent a little bit of time because I actually really like the topic that you wrote about on Wednesday over at Post Media. I think it's a really interesting one as the World Championship gets set to start in Sweden and in Denmark. Pre-tournament games are done. And now it's on to the regular tournament. The round robin begins on Friday. Canada begins their tournament on Saturday against Slovenia, not Slovakia. You take a look, like I was just looking through, I'm like, Canada's schedule says Can Slow, and it's instantly Slovakia. But no.
Slovenia.
Slovenia. Slovakia by the IIHF is SBK. Slovenia is SLO. So it's Slovenia, Canada on Saturday. Slovakia, though, is, and we will talk a little bit about Canada in a second, but Slovakia is where we wanted to start because they open up against Sweden, one of the hosts, on Friday. And you wrote about Sam Hanzek over at Post Media on Wednesday, and Hanzek is representing Slovakia for the Calgary Flames at the World Championship. And maybe Wes getting another opportunity to play down the middle, hey?
Yeah, and this was something on exit day with the Calgary Wranglers that really piqued my interest. You know, Sam Hanzek revealed, I suppose, that day that, yes, he had accepted an invite to Worlds, but he also said, I talked to the Slovak GM, and he said, I might have to play center. And the way Sam put it that day was, you know, it's a big challenge, but I think I'm up to it. And the crux of what I wrote today, and you can find it at the Post Media sites, is wouldn't this be a valuable sneak a peek for the Calgary Flames to find out? You know, we've talked. If you are a listener of Flames Talk, you've probably heard us mention that they're trying to figure out some long-term solutions at center. And you look at Slovakia opening the tournament on Friday against Sweden. Well, wouldn't you like to see how Sam Hanzek looks at center against Michael Backlund or against Elias Lindholm? You know, when Slovakia plays Team Canada, you think it might be enlightening to see Sam Hanzek take a few shifts against Bo Horvat or Ryan O'Reilly or that Sydney?
Where's 87?
Yeah.
Was he born on August 7th of 1987?
I can never remember. Is it Crosby?
$8.7 million?
Yeah, that sounds about right. Like, okay. Do you think it might be valuable for the Flames? And one of the things that I wrote is, you know, if you go back to the fall when Martin Pospisil opened training camp at center, one of the explanations from Ryan Huska was that they'd received really positive reports about Pospisil's performance as the first line center for Slovakia at Worlds. And while it didn't work with Martin Pospisil at center, while the Flames have determined, and I think rightly so, that he can be more of a menace on the wing, wouldn't you love to see it with Sam Hanzek? Like, wouldn't you like to find out whether you might have a pivot there?
Exactly. And that's kind of what I like. What if he turned into an NHL center? And I don't know if at this point, and maybe we do see this, maybe we don't. I don't know. Like, I don't know. Does Hanzek project to be a surefire top six NHLer? I don't know. But what if he turned into an NHL center? Like, what if all of a sudden this is a guy who can maybe he's turns into somebody who profiles more like a 2-3 NHL center. But what if that happens? And all of a sudden that gives you that much more depth in the area. There's no question where, like, the Flames are organizationally quite deep in net, pretty deep defensively, especially on the right side. They got plenty of wingers, but they are quite startlingly thin down the middle. And anybody in the organization would tell you that.
Yeah. They're desperate for solutions at center. And I think, you know, I mentioned Pospisil, and the reason that they ultimately moved Martin Pospisil back to the wing is because he was missing what he does best when he played center, right? Like, Martin Pospisil at his best is a guy who can lay a big lick on the forecheck and turn the momentum of a game and use his speed to, you know, chip pucks in and go get them. What I'm not sure about is, what is Sam Honzek going to do well at the NHL level, right? What is Sam Honzek's calling card going to be? And I think, you know, the sort of case for trying him at center is you've got some, you know, you have some size there. He's a big boy. He has that power forward frame. Would you like some size up the middle of the ice? Yes. Can Sam Honzek skate well enough to handle those responsibilities that you have put upon your centers in Calgary's system? I think at his size, he does move well enough to do that. Are you losing a guy who might score 25 on the wing someday? I don't know, because, like, you know, Sam Honzek can be a power forward, but he doesn't do it consistently enough. There's some durability issues there so far in his career. There's some question marks around Sam Honzek. As you try to figure out what is this guy and where does he fit, I just think these next couple weeks, with the possibility that he plays center, and he did play wing in their one exhibition game, it should be noted, but with the possibility you get a little bit of a sneak peek against really strong competition at center, I think it can be so valuable for the Flames to get a look of, you know, exactly what that looks like. Could he be in that mix with Justin Kirkland and Sam Morton to be the fourth line center next year? Would that be a bad thing for Sam Honzek? I don't think so.
Or what if in a year or I don't know, 6 months time, we're sitting here talking in November about maybe it's time to give, like, you know how we were talking about give Zeri a chance down the middle,
right?
Maybe there's an injury and now you're talking like, hey, like, give an opportunity to Honzek down the middle. How big a development would that be?
Yeah. And we could sit here, you know, if you gave me, I always, you know, use this phrase. If you gave me $100 and said, where's Sam Honzek play in the NHL? I'd say left wing. But this is like a freebie opportunity to find out if you might have a center there.
Yeah.
And he did play probably 30 to 40% of the games roughly with the Wranglers at center. You know,
played some time with the Giants. At center at different times.
So, you know, there's a little bit of knowledge of the position there. Sam Honzek right now is still, he's trying to figure out where and what he is as a pro. And center is an interesting one to me. He's a strong guy. He moves pretty well. I don't know. As you go looking for him, not a bad thing to find out.
And I'll be curious to see if we do see some of that as early as Friday when the tournament begins.
I think they have two guys who played in the NHL on the Slovakian roster. Two guys who played any games in the NHL on Slovakia's roster. And I think it's Sam Honzek, who played 5. And is it Dalibor Dvorsky of the St. Louis Blues? I think played 2. I saw on Twitter, so there's a 50% chance it's wrong.
Come from HockeyFan 97223649 QPTV6?
I saw on Twitter that this is the first time in I forget how many years exactly that Slovakia does not have a player on their roster who registered a point in the NHL this season.
Remember when they were like the next?
Right.
The next hockey power?
But if you're Sam Honzek, who's also, as he should be, viewing this as an audition to make his country's Olympic roster next year, if you're Sam Honzek, hey, you could be the number one center for Slovakia. Mm-hmm. And if you're the Calgary Flames, you're thinking, hell yeah, because that means we get to see him against Crosby and we get to see him against Elias Lindholm or against Michael Backlund or against William Eklund. Like, this is a golden opportunity for the Flames, and especially with your head coach who, as I said, pointed to the World Championships in Pospisil a year ago as reason to give it a try in training camp. He's going to be there to see it.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty good opportunity.
Speaking of which, over at the IIHF website, you know who's front and center on the IIHF website? Big old smiling Captain Michael Backlund. He's got, it was back when, I think 2016, was it 2016 or 2018, the last time that he represented his country at the World Championship. Nonetheless.
Has he been named captain of Team Sweden yet?
I don't know if he has, but if you go over there, he's front and center. Michael Backlund lifting the World Championship trophy, wearing the captaincy for the Tre Kroner. It's pretty cool to see. Over on the Canada side of things, they're done their pre-tournament action. They play Hungary and Austria before they start Saturday against Slovenia. Their flags are almost identical too, which is also like Slovenia's, they are different, but you're like, it was a very easy mistake to make. Somebody pointed it out on Twitter. It's like, oh, geez, you're right. Slovakia, SBK, Slovenia, SLO. Nonetheless, Zane Parekh has played his two pre-tournament games, so he will be leaving Team Canada and is on his way back.
I know there were a lot of people hoping he'd get a chance to stick around. I think the two defensemen they added, but if correct me if I have this wrong, they added, I believe, Jared Spurgeon and Mike Matheson in the last couple of days. Yeah. And so he went over there, certainly.
And Nathan MacKinnon.
Yeah, and Sidney
Different
Crosby.
Marc-Andre Fleury.
Yeah.
It's a pretty good player.
It would have been great if Zane Parekh had a little more chance to be around those guys. But he spent the past week with Ryan Huska and with Mackenzie Weegar and around certainly some very good players, and that'll only benefit.
Well, and I know that as he's done, and that was always the plan, by the way. This is not... It's the plan right from the get-go when we first started hearing about it was pre-tournament games, practice, help them get set, and then once the first round is done and they start bringing some other guys over, very likely Parekh comes back to this side of the world, and that's exactly what's happened. So it's not like this is a disappointment. It's not like he's done anything wrong. Like this, and this is also what the Flames were hoping for as well, because now... I mean, yes, had he been able to jump into World Championship games, they would have loved this. But this is what they like about this is that he could go over there, be around good players, see how they practice. And it's not, you know, he's been around Uyghur before, but now he gets to be around other really good players that are over there. And from a Ryan O'Reilly to a Noah Dobson or so on and so on, like some of the guys that are over there, a really good opportunity for him to see how other NHLers go about their business. So now he, in the last few weeks, last 3 weeks, Zane Parekh has made his NHL debut, scored his first NHL goal, gone over to two pretty cool cities, got an opportunity to be with Hockey Canada, see how they go about their business, get into two pre-tournament games against teams that, if you're Austria and if you're Hungary, you're going full bore against Team Canada because you don't get to play Team Canada very often. And now he comes back and is able to jump right into his summer program, gain some strength, gain maybe a little bit of size and be ready to compete for an NHL spot in September.
Yeah. I think I'm obviously
pretty cool last few weeks for Mr. Parekh.
Yeah. Especially as a kid who couldn't crack. I shouldn't say couldn't.
Didn't
crack Canada's
silliness.
World Junior team. I mean, the opportunity.
Good selections, guys.
Yeah, to be around NHL coaching, to be around some of the top Canadian players who aren't in the Stanley Cup playoffs. There's no bad that can come out of it. It would have been nice if he could have stuck around a while longer, but as you said, that was never the plan.
Mackenzie Weegar is on that team. You think about some of the players that are going from Crosby to MacKinnon. Look, Crosby and MacKinnon are on the Olympic team for Team Canada next year in Milan. But it's no coincidence that you're seeing more high-profile guys go this year as we get set for the Olympics next year. And for Mackenzie Weegar, he really wanted to be on that Four Nations team. And it's not like he was upset at Hockey Canada for not choosing him, but he really wanted to be on that team and would love to get an opportunity to be on the Olympic team. And honestly, and Thomas Harley did a great job jumping in and probably has put himself right in the mix, maybe right at the front of the list for being on that team for the Olympics next year. But I think another great showing for Weegar at the World Championship, like what we saw from him 2 years ago, I think puts him right there in that same conversation. And Weegar doesn't have any other gears than top gears. So yeah. I'm looking forward to seeing Mackenzie play over there. And I really think he will be and should be in the mix for Team Canada at the Olympics as well.
Yeah. And the guys that he's going to be buddy-buddy with over the next few weeks are some of the guys he's competing with, right? That's the same reason that Noah Dobson is going to World Championships.
Yeah.
Because he, after not being on Team Canada's roster for the Four Nations, and he was injured when they went looking for a replacement, he wants to go to the Olympics. And so you've got right-handed Noah Dobson. You have right-handed Brandon Montour, another guy who was talked about as a potential candidate for the Four Nations and will be if he has another strong season for the Olympics. And so Mackenzie Weegar can, not everybody's there, but he can kind of look at a couple of the guys that he's ultimately going to be fighting for an Olympic spot with.
Yep. World Championship starts on Friday. Canada opens their tournament on Saturday. And honestly, I think the same is going through the heads of Rasmus Anderson, Michael Backlund, Dan Vladar, as you mentioned, Sam Honzek. I think there's a lot of guys who are on this Flames team who are also representing their country starting this week at the Worlds. And I think they're also thinking about, can this help me get on the Olympic squad? I can tell you that Michael Backlund would love, like, it's kind of like a dream now to represent his country at the Olympics. He wasn't quite there in 2014, the last time the NHL went. He was there in 2016 at the World Cup, but then they haven't gone since. And it would be pretty incredible for Michael to have that opportunity. We talked to Rasmus Anderson when he was named to Sweden's Four Nations team and how much that meant to him. He hadn't represented his country in ages. He would love to be on that Olympic team and so on and so forth. So
yeah, and
it would
be
cool to see.
And when you talk to Adam Klapka, he'll tell you, hey, I was never a guy. Not only did I not go to World Juniors, but nobody even talked about whether I'd be invited to World Juniors. Suddenly, he could be one of the tallest guys in the opening ceremonies next year.
Down in front. Pat and Wes, we're underway this hour on Flames Talk, and we're coming at you from our Groundworks downtown studio, your local experts for foundation and crawl space repair.
This is Flames Talk. Join the conversation at 960-960. Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
And as this Wednesday edition of the program continues, it's time to go down the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline. It's time to check in with our buddy Jonathan Davis, our Pacific Division insider from NHL Network and VSiN Sports. Hello, JD. How are you?
Pat, it's been quiet here the last couple of days. No media conferences, you know, no talking about a GM that's no longer here. It's been pretty quiet. I'm good.
Yeah, I don't know if you knew this or not, but recently, like since we last spoke, the Los Angeles Kings lost in 6 games to the Edmonton Oilers, and that's the 4th consecutive year they've been ousted by the Edmonton Oilers. Were you aware of that?
I've heard something about it. As far as I know, the Kings are up 2-0. I didn't know that they lost 4 straight. Shocking. What a disaster, Pat. I mean, it's...
Truly, with like this year, with them being up 2-0 and firmly in control, and look, I think we all expected Edmonton to find a way to win a game at home. They win game 3. I think that was very much expected. But, I mean, the collapse in game 4, they get the brakes beat off them in game 5, and then can't find a way to keep them off the score sheet in game 6. I mean, that I know that they had the the 3-2 series lead in the first year, and Edmonton, Connor McDavid specifically, took that team on his back and wins game 6 and 7. That was the year that they then played the Flames. The last 2 years have been very, very lopsided in Edmonton's direction. But this year, like, this has got to be, from a collapse standpoint, as hard to swallow as any playoff loss in that market.
Yeah, it sure was. And really, they could have, they being the LA Kings, had an opportunity to really sweep this series. And I think that, you know, that's another factor that pains the players when you had a chance, when we had a chance to catch up with them on, let's see, today is Wednesday, Monday, you know, and Jim Hiller as well. You could feel the pain still, especially with Hiller, just the missed opportunity. And then, you know, in talking, you know, well, Kopitar and Doughty and everybody, and the players were pretty honest, brutally honest. And so, yeah, it's a huge setback, and it, you know, ends up that Rob Blake and the Kings decide to part ways. And, you know, you can, you know, whether you want to call it, you know, the King, whether it's, you feel it's the Kings' decision or it was Blake's decision, it's really immaterial. You know, my understanding was that Rob Blake had an offer that he had been sitting on the entire, you know, for a good part of this season. And I think Elliot Friedman suggested this morning on the latest podcast, Urgency Thoughts podcast, that, you know, when they were eliminated, I think, you know, maybe that's what kind of pushed it from the Kings to say, okay, I think maybe it is time to move on. I mean, look, it's, you know, they have not won a playoff series since they won the Cup in 2014. That's 11 years, 8 years under Rob Blake, they haven't won a Cup. And while it may not all be on Rob, I mean, ultimately he has to wear it. And I'll tell you, you know, Pat, like for me, you know, I was just going through some numbers of all the teams and just the depth that that various teams are showing through the playoffs. And this is where the Kings faltered. And it was something that I asked Jim Hiller about at the press conference, because, you know, the phrase that there are players that get you to the playoffs and there are other players like a Patrick Maroon who help carry you through. And it sure seemed that Jim Hiller and the coaching staff felt that a quarter of this roster that they dressed for games couldn't get them through playoffs. And Jordan Spence, a guy that played 16 minutes a night during the regular season, you know, found himself a healthy scratch in one game, another game where he played less than 3 minutes. You know, I brought up the fact, you know, people were talking about, well, they didn't have Tanner Jeannot, and not that that was going to win them the series, but that physical presence was something that they could have helped their cause. But they, you know, just because you lose Jeannot, you would hope that you've got someone to replace him. You know, I brought up a player like Sammy Hellenius, and again, not a guy that's moving the meter, but a guy that played less than 2 minutes in one game, played three shifts in one game, had 4 hits. He had 7 hits in 2 games in less than 6 minutes. You know, when I brought up to Hiller, like, why not use these guys? Well, he basically said they didn't trust him. They didn't feel that they were ready. So, you know, the organization, you know, Luke Robitaille came out yesterday and said, hey, look, I think we're only a couple of players away. Well, I don't think you are if you can't trust what you've got on your roster. So It's going to be an interesting offseason.
The Rob Blake, were you surprised by the Rob Blake news or were you expecting it?
I wasn't surprised. I wasn't surprised, but I guess expecting it. Yeah. I mean, I just would have thought that, it's time to move on. You know, there were some suggestions that they were, you know, both he and Hiller would be back, but I applaud the organization for just saying, you know, or Rob, whatever it was, you need a change. Now, Rob's out, but the question is, who comes in? And for me, you know, I think you need to go kind of like, not necessarily Dean Lombardi, but I mean, you've got to go outside this organization. They need, in my opinion, a fresh set of eyes to overlook things. So Marc Bergevin, a guy that's had GM experience, has worked as an advisor for the team for the past couple of years. You know, this is not a knock on his ability, but I just think he's too close to the situation. So for me, I'm hoping that they're looking elsewhere. And I just think this organization needs a major overhaul.
Yeah, it's It's funny, as I was watching game six come to an end and Connor Brown scores into that empty net, Drew Doughty's on the ice, and and it's funny, JD, you've been talking for quite some time, like, you know, you've got Doughty and Kopitar who are still there, still under contract, and you've kind of said, you either got to trade these guys and rebuild, or you got to try to be as competitive as possible while these two guys are still under contract, and man, here we are, and I think we've been having that conversation. You first brought that up like 2 or 3 years ago, and here we are in May 2025, and I still think that is very much part of the conversation.
Well, look, Anze Kopitar's got 1 year left on his deal, mm-hmm. and I've mentioned this numerous times that when he was on After Hours a couple of years ago, he said to Scott Oak that he was going back to Slovenia once his next contract was up. Now, he was asked about that on Monday at the players' exit meetings, and his answer was, I'm under contract for the upcoming year. We'll see. You know, in the case of Doughty, you know, look, it's a hard contract to move. I don't know what these guys want to do. I just think that, you know, whether it's Drew Doughty or, to a lesser degree, you know, a player like a Phil Deno, like, these guys emptied their gas tank this year. And I have to believe it's going to be super hard for them. You know, it's going to be a real tough off season, and, you know, to get yourself geared up to play another 82, you know, and I just think that, you know, this upcoming season could be a real tough one. And especially if the teams around them can make some strides, in particular, the team in your market, you know, can take it to that next level. But we'll see. I mean, LA's got cap space. They still have to figure out what they're going to do. You know, they've got Vladislav Gavrikov is going to be a highly sought-after free agent. He hasn't signed a deal. He's a UFA. He can help a lot of teams. And if they lose him, that's a big hole to fill on the blue line. Tanner Jeannot's another one that's an unrestricted free agent. Elliot reported on the podcast today that, you know, contract negotiations never went anywhere with him. So, you know, Adrian Kempe, they can start negotiating with him this offseason. He's in the final year of his deal. But, you know, you look at this roster and, you know, it's still Kevin Fiala is the highest paid forward on the team. He had a really good second half. Can he carry it over? We'll see. But there's a lot of questions with this team. And look, Pat, you know, people were saying, you know, Jim Hiller, like I said, Jim Hiller, I felt, committed coaching malpractice in the playoffs. But in saying that, like, I don't really think, like, maybe if John Cooper came through the door, you know, and that's not happening, but if John Cooper came through the door to start the season, maybe they could turn things around. I just think there's still a lot of questions with this roster, at least as it stands right now, and we'll have to see where it goes with free agency.
We're chatting to Jonathan Davis. He is our Pacific Division insider, joins us from NHL Network and VSiN Sports. Okay, so LA out, that leaves us with two remaining Pacific Division teams in play. They are playing one another, and the Edmonton Oilers open their series against Vegas with another comeback win. They've won 5 in a row in comeback fashion in the playoffs. What did you make of game one between the Oilers and the Vegas Golden Knights?
Highly entertaining. You know, a lot of fun to watch, and, you know, never say die with Edmonton. I mean, you know, LA, you know, watching them play against LA, you know, it shouldn't have shocked me. I think, you know, Pat, the thing that stands out for me, and I was just putting out the numbers today, the Oilers have 13 different players with a goal. No team has more diversity from a standpoint of scoring goals. They have 18 players with a point. I'm sorry, well, the teams remaining in the playoffs, because St. Louis actually had 16 players score a goal, and all 20 players that dressed for them actually had a point. But the thing with Edmonton, it's 13 players with a goal, and when you look at who's got the most goals on the team, hey, it's Connor Brown and Evan Bouchard are tied with Leon Draisaitl. Okay, you know, maybe, you know, Connor Brown at the top of the heap, hey, I mean, and that celebration that he had after scoring the empty netter and just kind of standing by the Oilers bench or the Knights bench kind of said it all. But, the, you know, Brown with 4, Perry with 3, Nuge with three. I mean, Janmark with two. Vander Kane's had a good playoff. So, you know, Connor McDavid's leading the team in points, but he's only got two goals. So, you know, the depth of this team, which is what, you know, they've been trying to build towards, it took them a while, but talk about guys that can get you through the playoffs. It's another good playoff for Connor Brown.
Yeah, and I mean, with Frederick playing and Kane playing and both making impacts, now all of a sudden the knock on the Oilers not being deep, and they're still missing Ekholm, which I do think, especially as Vegas gets back to full strength, but as we see the Oilers continue to progress in this postseason, all of a sudden their forward depth like isn't as much of a weakness as we thought it was going to be. It's really turned into, you know, they're playing a pretty deep brand of hockey right now.
Well, and the other numbers that were super impressive to me, you know, they were a minus 20 in the regular season when Connor and Leon weren't on the ice. They're a plus four in the playoffs. Like that, you know, that was one thing that Bruce Cassidy talked about going into game one. You know, we've got to take advantage of the opportunity when those two guys aren't out there. And they weren't able to do that last night.
Mm-hmm.
They lost that battle. So, you know, if Edmonton can continue to be on the plus side when Connor and Leon aren't out there, wow, that's going to be really tough. And Calvin Pickard didn't have to be great last night. Like, and you know, it was pretty much a rocking chair game for him after the first two goals. I thought, look, Aiden Hill played really well until, you know, he had the bad break on the second goal and then, you know, an unfortunate third goal, you know, one that beat him glove side. But I thought he was really good. But, you know, when you're getting one shot in the period like Vegas did in the second, it's sure making it tough for you to win a hockey game.
Two more for you involving the Pacific Division outside of the postseason. One of them in San Jose, they do not win the draft lottery. And it was the New York Islanders and Utah Mammoth as the two big winners of the draft lottery. And because the New York Islanders moved from 10 to 1, they dropped the San Jose Sharks from 1 to 2. So last year, Sharks were able to retain the first overall pick. This year, they're down to number 2 overall. Just your thought on the Sharks not being able to make it back-to-back number 1 overall picks.
I don't think it's really a bad thing, to be honest with you, because, you know, look, you're going to put yourself in a situation, you know, if San Jose is fortunate, you know, look, you still got Smith celebrating and now a number 2. You keep accumulating all these high draft picks, you know, so close together. Like, if everything works out as you hope, you're going to put yourself in salary cap hell. Like, I mean, if you want to, for me, that's the glass half full to this. So I don't think it's a terrible thing. Getting number 2, you know, in this draft is not really a big loss. So I don't think it's a bad thing. And, you know, again, I think I've brought this trend as well since 2009. As long as you've got a player that you have selected first or second overall, you got a shot at winning the cup. And San Jose is going to have a couple of those. So it's only been two teams since 2009 that have won a cup without having their own player that they selected first or second overall. Vegas was one of them, although Jack Eichel was number 2 by Buffalo. St. Louis was the other. When they won, the highest player they had selected was Alex Pietrangelo.
Yeah.
Ironically, it's funny that both Eichel and Petro are now together in Vegas. So, you know, look, they're in a really good spot. They need to add to the back end. I mean, that's really where San Jose's, you know, biggest needs are right now. They've got to find help on the blue line because it you know, especially if you're going to go with Askarov next year, even if he's playing, you know, as in a 1B role, you know, you don't want to destroy that guy. And I think that was, you know, part of the reason why, you know, he spent a little more time in the minors because they just weren't good defensively.
Yeah. Last one for you, pal, and that's where are we on Anaheim's coaching search, and what are we hearing there? We've heard the name Joel Quenneville a couple of times. You know, I know a lot of people are curious if Rick Tocchet, that's a name that you've thought about as well. What are we hearing or what are we thinking on this Anaheim coaching search?
It's kind of like hit a bit of a little bit of a turtle race right now. Pat Verbeek comes out of the Steve Yzerman, you know, Lou Lamoriello, mold of, you just don't know. You never know. Yeah. Leaks are not happening down there. I mean, I'm trying to connect dots and, look, I still think Tocchet is a legit candidate. Ultimately, you know, look, the only thing that I have heard is that in the past salary for a coach has been an issue. Paying big dollars, market value has been an issue. So I don't know if that's going to create any, if that will take someone out of the realm like a Quenneville or even a Rick Tocchet. I guess the other one that would have been nice would have been David Carl, but I think he's much smarter. Yeah, I mean, why not just, if you're getting paid well, I'd rather be playing college, being a college coach than an NHL coach, even with all the NIL stuff that's going on. It hasn't hit to the same fashion in hockey as it has in basketball and college football. So, to me, it's still the most attractive coaching job out there. So I think the Ducks are in the driver's seat from that standpoint. It's just a matter of can they work out something financially.
Great stuff as always, JD. Enjoy game two between Vegas and Edmonton, and we'll catch up soon. Thank you as always, my friend.
All right, bud. Take care. Have a great week. Thanks for having me.
You as well, pal. That's Jonathan Davis, VSiN Sports and NHL Network on the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline, serving the best pizza, pasta, steaks, and ribs for over half a century. Dine in at 6060 Memorial Drive Northeast or call 403-248-3344 for pickup or delivery. As we start to wrap things up this hour on the program, thanks to Cam Hughes and Shan Vergie as our outstanding producers. Wes Gilbertson is on Twitter at Wes Gilbertson, and this has been The Sports Drive. Sports Drive, as always, brought to you by our friends at Calgary Lock and Safe. The moving sale is on now. Save big on safes, smart locks, keypads, and more. Visit CalgaryLockAndSafe.com.